in a town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Hey.
Are you going to say it? Where's Andy?
We're the podcast for the people, by the people.
There you go.
Is that what he says?
Normally Andy says it. He's got the radio voice.
But how does he say it? You do it.
I can't do it. Andy's...
The podcast for the people, by the people.
Yeah, something like that.
No, guys, it's not like that.
We're down a host today.
Yeah.
We had kind of a last minute put together here, so we're taking advantage of his time. So
right, yes, a guest coming in from out of town.
The way hailing from South Dakota. that's a hike. Well, it's not too far.
It's
really
not far, right?
It feels far.
Yeah.
Wait, 5 hours? Six.
Five or six, I suppose. Yeah.
Okay.
Five or six.
It's not horrible.
So for the folks who have been listening to the podcast, you're familiar with farmfocus.com. You might be familiar with some of the brands on the website. Really, and we'll talk about this, but you could go back and say like one of the originals, really.
He was super OG.
Yeah. So Cole Sunny from Sunny Farms in Mount Vernon, South Dakota.
Yes, sir.
You should hit your clap thing.
Here we go.
Too kind.
Welcome, sir. So what's going on, man?
Well, my wife is the matron of honor in a wedding in Omaha, so
okay.
I had about 4 or 5 hours to kill today. Knew you guys were close by, so I thought I'd say, hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
And appreciate you showing me around your shop and where you print everything. And last stop was the room where you record these podcasts. Yeah. And I was like, well, I got another hour. I guess we could do one if you'd like to.
Heck yeah, let's do it.
This is perfect.
Let's do it. So Sunny Farms in South Dakota, as we talked about, what all do you guys do there?
Yeah, so we're big on corn and soybeans and mm-hmm. black Angus cattle. Actually, just coming up next week, we have our big bull day. Dad's been selling purebred black Angus bulls for the last 27 years.
Wow.
And so we have, I think, 93 bulls available, and we actually, about last week, just sold out. So all the bulls are sold, and we're pretty excited. It's about the most bulls we've offered in mm-hmm. a year mm-hmm. and everybody's sold, and just have had some great repeat customers over these last 27 years, but also with the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We've had some new customers from farther away coming,
oh, cool.
you know, 14 hours, 10 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, from not a farming standpoint, what does that mean? Like, they just look at the cow online and they're like, hey, I want this guy.
So,
how do they do this?
A couple different ways. A lot of the local guys that have been around for many years just take Dad's word for it, say, hey, I want one or two or whatever, and Dad always picks the next best ones on the list. It's all first come, first serve. Every bowl is the same price. So it kind of pays to be earlier. You know, you're going to pay the same price whether you're early or late, and there's going to be better quality bowls earlier on. So people are always welcome to come and look over the bowls and pick out the ones they want. Lately, with people being so far away and wanting to check them out, Dad will take pictures and send pictures or videos and whatever, and let people see them.
What are we looking for in a bowl?
Well, first off, we specialize in heifer bowls,
which
basically means it's a bowl you want to use on a young heifer.
Okay.
It's going to be something with calving ease, smaller birth weight.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's maybe not full mm-hmm. maturity weight yet. Just something that'll be easier for her to handle on her own. So I guess in that case, if you're looking for a heifer bull, it's something that weighs less, you know, about mm-hmm. that 60, 70 pounds at birth. But you're still wanting something that weans at a good weight. It's give and take. If mm-hmm. you're finding something that has a bigger weaning weight, it started out life a little heavier.
Sure.
You know, it's...
Yep, yep.
So you're always... When you're gaining something, you're often losing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a fine line there.
What were you looking for in a bull?
Well, you know.
Yes, I do know.
We don't have to go there.
Yeah. We don't have to go there. But so you're basically just selling these guys to impregnate.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise they're not used for anything else. I mean, we're not
we're not talking steers, no.
Okay, so that's what I don't...
So there's people that, you know, they calve, and then they feed them out.
Okay.
And then they go to market, you know, for consumption.
Right.
Whereas we're selling the bulls intact. They're not steers, they're bulls, and they're able to breed. And people are buying them to breed their own cows with.
And then they can say they got it from Sunny Farms.
They can now.
Okay. All right. So that's the thing for those 14-hour drivers.
Well,
they're excited to see coal.
Well, I like to think they care about our quality and our price as well. But yeah.
Of course. Yeah. It doesn't hurt, right?
That's most of it.
Yeah.
So is that primarily what's done with your cattle operation, or is there other things you guys do with it?
Yeah. So we, I guess we also do feedlot backgrounding. So backgrounding is, I guess, how we do it. We buy calves at about 400 pounds, feed them to about 800 or 900 pounds.
Okay.
Now, fat weight market critter is usually around 14, getting into 1500 pounds. So we do the kind of the first feedlot process, backgrounding. Wow. And we do that for a couple reasons. We feel we're pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
We also like when we sell, it's usually around this time of the year, right before we're getting into field work. So we would have less time to pay attention to the mm-hmm. cattle in the feedlot.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you remember back in COVID, I think the hog guys were up against this a lot. They had market-ready hogs, mm-hmm. nowhere to go with them. Mm-hmm. Plants were closed. So when we're backgrounding, we still have the option to take them to fat weight if we have to mm-hmm. for whatever reason. But we can also take the profits now if we think there are.
So you don't, So you're not, I guess, so to speak, under the gun at that point. Mm-hmm. Where they're at that point, they're done. They need something needs to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I guess.
So then someone else will take them off your hands, or yep. you can so actually. Then
we'd take them to the sale barn, and somebody that finishes them would buy them and take them to fat weight.
So then there's good finishers that you guys know. Is it typically the same people that will buy?
We don't always know. When you go to the sale barn, you don't always know who buys them. But Dad spends a lot of time at the sale barn. He likes being there. And there's a camaraderie there. Mm-hmm. You know,
okay.
he says, I want to go see my friends at the sale barn. So he pays attention, and he knows there are often same buyers that buy his cattle. You hope to form a reputation.
Yep.
And you hope when you bring cattle in and the guy in the auction block says these are Brian Sonny's cattle, Cole Sonny's cattle.
Sure.
That people are like, okay, you know, I've seen these cattle before. They usually, just have a reputation to be good growers mm-hmm. and yep. under good condition and have
been
fed well.
We know they treat them well. They feed them well. They get up there. If I'm buying one of theirs, it's going to be healthy. You know, mm-hmm. all these kinds of things. Like good, it's good prospect for
good,
it.
Good vaccination program and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've heard you talk about, and some of the products that you deal in specifically have to do with calving. So you guys are having your own calves.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when it's a female? What do you do with it?
Are you talking day one or?
Just in general, because we've talked about, you know, what you do with the bulls and the steers and that. So then what happens on the female side?
Yeah. So we have been basically breeding every one of our home-raised females for the last probably 5 years. We've been building our herd a little bit. Also culling out some of the older cows with bad bags or bad attitudes, I mm-hmm, guess. So mm-hmm. so yeah, our heifers, they've been getting bred, and then either we calve them out ourselves or we've been selling bred heifers.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, some people will take their home-raised calves all the way to fat weight.
Yep.
Or they'll sell them right at weaning, which is usually in fall for us. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but we've been breeding our heifers and you know, we sell bulls. We think they're good quality, and so we also think our heifers are good quality.
Yep.
So
yep, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yep. Is the majority of your guys' agricultural operation cattle or grain, or is it pretty close?
I would say it's about 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was kind of wondering that because, I mean, you do call it a farm, right?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting how people are like, they'll call it a farm or they'll call it a ranch or whatever. Yeah. But if you're 50-50.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's up to interpretation.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of ranchers, I think of somebody that probably wears a cowboy hat, probably mm-hmm. is on a horse. But, you know, there's probably people without both of those that still call themselves ranchers. So it's all how you want to shake it out. You know, we get called ranchers, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't call myself a rancher. I think some people would be offended if I called myself a rancher.
Sure, so. yeah.
So.
That's funny.
So I had seen some things also where you guys have done some programs where you've sold some of your beef direct to consumer. How does that work for you guys?
Yeah, so there's another social media guy in southeastern Iowa, and his name's Sawyer. He runs the This'll Do Farm. Mm-hmm. They do a podcast and they Instagram all social media forms. And so he had a dream and a goal to do direct to consumer. And they raise hogs, Finnish hogs. And so he started with his own hogs, selling them to, you know, a lot of his viewers, of course. And then, you know, once he built that, he had the means of shipping and he had the meat, he had the locker lined up. He had a walk-in freezer, all of that. And so he's like, well, I could expand this business if I brought in you know, other brands. And he likes to stick with other social media people. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is, I guess, number one, being organic, not in a way of like non-GMOs and stuff that. Mm-hmm. But you get to see how it's raised on people's farms. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I can't think of the word...
like I keep thinking hands-on, but I mean everything's hands-on. But
it's more of like you know the whole story, like
you know the whole
background of the animal and the farm, and you know your farmer, you know where it's coming from.
Yeah. And so he reached out and asked if I'd ever want to provide some beef. And so, you know, as we've been talking, I haven't said we finish at all. So and that's true. Up until 2 years ago, we had. We started with 6 heifers, and we took them all the way to fat weight. And so, yeah, people watched them, those exact animals, be calved on our farm, go to pasture, go to the feedlot, and then people were able to buy them after they got processed.
Nice.
So, and then this year we doubled it, went to 12 heifers, and things sold pretty well. You know, we have a great following, really supportive viewers, and so it sold pretty quickly. And
you guys have plans to do some more of that?
Yeah. I think so. The way we've been doing it lately is it's been the heifers that didn't get bred. You know, we go to preg check and they didn't get bred, so they're not going to give us a calf. So we just thought, well, we'll take these ones all the way to fat weight. So it kind of depends on how well the bull did, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. With the platform that he has that you guys were selling that on, what was that? Just so people are aware of that.
Yeah, so his business is called FarmerGrade.com. Mm-hmm. And so he works with probably 6 other people on social media, and then, of course, his own pork is on there.
FarmerGrade.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so does he have – he has stuff on there that you could go on and buy at any time, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
But then for your stuff, it's done in specific runs.
Exactly.
Limited runs.
Yeah. So we actually did a pre-buy because everyone's been to the grocery store. Beef is actually at an all-time high like right now. So it takes a lot of money to buy the beef, to process it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get all the materials for shipping. And so we did a pre-buy in, I want to say, November, December. And then the meat actually didn't get delivered till February. That way he had all the money that it would take to move all that product around and get things done. Yeah.
Okay. It looks like actually just on their homepage here, there's some hot dogs from Sunny Farms.
Yeah. Yeah. So in February we shipped that out and we didn't want to pre-sell out too much.
Yeah.
So after they got everything shipped out, they realized, well, good, we still have extra. We didn't short anybody. So then a few items did get put back on the site. I think we do have a few steaks that are available even.
Yeah.
Some hot dogs and some
hamburger
patties.
How are those hot dogs, man? I'm a hot dog fan.
I haven't gotten to try the hot dogs, actually. No. No.
All beef hot dogs.
So someone doesn't just get a whole cow from you?
No. No, it's...
You don't want it. Like, have you ever thought of that? Like, your neighbor? Like, hey...
Well, I mean, if our neighbor asked, possibly, but going back to that, we don't usually finish our own.
Yes. So okay.
We have a lot of local friends that run feedlots. And so if we have something that it's like, hey, would you finish this for us? They'll throw it in a feedlot or whatever, finish it out. And then the other thing is, you know, if you were to process a whole beef, that's a lot of freezer space. So it often is in these rural areas of farmers saying, hey, you want a half and you want to split this up. So
because normally we'll get a half, right, when we get ours?
Yeah. Normally we'll buy because we'll split it with somebody.
Yeah,
so we'll buy a whole from a farming outfit in Nebraska. Upstream Farms is what they're called. They're in Albion. We've been buying from them for a few years. They were on the Farm Folks website for a while as well, but just really aren't, what it came down to, aren't big merch guys. They don't push much merch, and they don't have like the social media thing that we'll get into with you. Mm-hmm. But phenomenal beef. So yeah, we buy holes. I think we've got one coming next month, and then we'll split that half with a neighbor or whatever. You know, people are always looking for it. So I was just looking on the website here on Farmer Grade, and they work with the Hilbert guys also. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and they actually just put out a video, the younger Hilbert brother and
Spencer and Grant.
Yeah, how he went out, bought some cattle and finished them. And
that's awesome. I didn't realize they were doing that. So those guys just added to the Farm Focused website for merchandise in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we just had him on.
No, that was one of their buddies we had on.
Oh, the other buddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Okay, I'm getting them all confused.
yeah, pretty interesting. That's cool how everybody's kind of connected that way and doing all these things. It's like helping each other and creating this community.
Well, that's what I've learned, you know, going to some of these farm shows where there's a bunch of other YouTubers. Just last summer I went to one, and you know, Chet Larson was there, and both the Welkers and Millennial Farmer and Ron from Hartung Family Farms, and I think Laura Farms was there that day. I didn't get to meet her, but at one point we had all these guys together and just shooting the crap, and they're just also genuine nice guys. It's you know, that really role models in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's cool too when, like, you know, each one of these folks kind of has maybe something that they specialize in or something that they're better at than you are, or you're better at than they are, and you can kind of see this collaboration with things like this that they're doing with Farmer Grade and, you know, what happens on YouTube, and, you know, all you guys are helping each other and kind of putting all that together. And we kind of come in too with the merchandise, and you guys are introducing new folks to us and vice versa, and that's all just working really neat. It's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, you know, pretty much right at the start of my YouTube channel, I was watching Millennial Farmer, and I saw you on his video, and he said you guys were doing his merch, and I thought, well, you know, I may not sell any merch at all, but if I were able to get on that website right next to Zach Johnson, you know, a lot of people are going to be going there to buy some Millennial Farmer stuff, and they're going to see, what's Sunny Farms? Well, I guess we'll look it up on YouTube. So for me, it was kind of a marketing idea.
Yeah.
And then, you know, our YouTube channel did take off, and it's been pretty good to be in with you guys and a lot of other YouTubers on the website.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. So you were completely honest with me when we first met on the phone. You told me that.
Mm-hmm. I had never heard that.
Yeah, you were like, yeah, I don't have a lot, but, you know, I know Millennial Farmers on there, and I think it could help me. You know, you were telling me this, and I'm like, I was thinking to myself, okay. So he wants to take advantage of the website, but he's not going to bring a lot to us. Mm-hmm. But I was like, but also he's being honest. So I like that.
I do remember you saying, talking about Cole and saying, well, this guy wants on the website. He doesn't have like near of a following.
Small following. Yeah.
But let's like take a risk on this guy. And like you're always our talking point, like not because of the web. Like you've literally done yourself so well. You've blown up. Hmm. I mean, you've grown.
Thank you.
Like, really? You've done such a huge...
Yeah, from back then, I mean,
what
do you think your subscriber count was when you started with us on YouTube?
I would say 50,000.
Yeah, and then, and to today, where are you around today?
Like 307,000.
Big change. Yeah,
that's a huge change.
So, for folks who haven't already put this together, you do a bunch of stuff on YouTube. Sunny Farms is the YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. What is the YouTube channel all about?
Yeah, well, most of what we talked about.
Yeah.
Each day is a day in life. And with cattle and crops, we have so much variety. You know, cattle brings in a lot of things. You're making hay. You're fixing fence, putting in new fence. Working cattle, calving is a great. That's just some of the coolest videos because there's so many people that haven't been experienced had the experience to being around livestock. And, you know, corn and soybeans, you know, you get out there and plant, you get out there and harvest. I enjoy it, but it's sometimes hard to make content around that. Sure. It's just tractors going back and forth. You know, the more interesting things in that line of work is when there are breakdowns. You know, people love to watch a train wreck,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when things break, it's kind of all about situations and how you overcome them. That's what makes the YouTube, in my opinion, interesting.
What gave you the motivation to start a YouTube channel?
Yeah, so when I was in college, I just thought drones were cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was playing with the idea of maybe starting a company to where we could do some, take some footage, maybe take some plant health.
Yep.
I'm not sounding very educated on the thing.
So obviously, we can see why you didn't go in that direction.
Yeah. I was going to see if I could help some farmers locally with
it. Was like the imaging, like the NDVI.
Yeah, exactly.
And the plant health and all that. Yeah, right.
And so I was thinking about maybe trying to start some of that. But then I was like, you know, what would I be able to charge an acre? Would I be able to make a living? Is it going to help many farmers that much anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the answer I came up with was no. Mm-hmm. Is not, and that was kind of before crop spraying drones came out big,
like they are
now.
Yep.
And so I was like, well, I'm not going to do that, but I still want a drone, so I bought one.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, what do I do with this? I was taking some video of us putting up hay and planting and doing stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, now I have this video. What am I going to do with this video? And so I was like, well, I guess I could just throw it on YouTube. Why not? I can watch it later if I ever want to.
Sure, yeah.
My family and friends can check out us farming. And then a couple videos just started getting views for whatever reason. And so I was like, well, I guess we'll keep doing this. You know, it's fun. You get 1,000 views on a video, you think you're on the top of the world. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know 1,000 people, you know. And then, you know, at the time, honestly, I was watching Millennial Farmer from my dorm room, watching him harvest, and it's like, well, I'm 2 hours away from home, and I'm not able to help with harvest. It's awesome being able to watch someone else do it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was getting a few subscribers, and I thought, you know, why don't I try vlogging? And so for a while there, I was using my iPhone 6 and taking some video and putting it on YouTube. And, you know, each video, you hit a different, I guess, landmark and new heights, and it's just fun to, okay, we got 20 subscribers, we got 100, and it's just each new day is something exciting, something to be excited about, and so just kind of kept going with it, and I think we're almost on year 6 of YouTube now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. What would you say, like, as a percentage, is everything that has to do with YouTube, what percentage of your day-to-day is that, gets put into that?
Yeah, I guess... You know, I usually get to the farm about 8 a.m. and have the camera with me. And it honestly doesn't add too much time to my working day, moving the camera around. And then usually about, on average, 2 hours per video to edit. But then there's other things like replying to comments, replying to maybe businesses that want to work with us or whatever. So, you know, it's not uncommon for me to work from when I get up to when I go to bed at about 10-ish or whatever. And then there's a lot of weekends where I'm putting 4 or 5 hours in a day or whatever.
So maybe like how often during the work day when you're at the farm are you not doing something that is inevitably going to have something to do with YouTube? You know what I mean? Like you don't have a camera in your hand or you're not planning a like, okay, you know, I need to be thinking about we're going to need to shoot this or like that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I guess since we only do 3 videos a week, there's probably 2 days on the farm where I'm doing stuff that aren't isn't interesting, like greasing stuff that needs to be greased. You know, some of that boring maintenance stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe sorting cows, where you know it's just shutting the gate one way, opening it the other, whatever. So, you know, I would three days a week. It's like everything's getting filmed, and the other two, just getting all those things that need done that aren't interesting done. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
If that answers the question.
It does. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around how much time this actually takes, because I think a lot of folks, you know, that see those videos and stuff just think, oh, you know, you run around with the camera here and there and you take some shots and it puts it together and you hit upload and now you've got the video. But
yeah, no, it adds a lot of time, especially now having a new baby at home, 3-month-old, you know, that she gets home from work and she's got stuff she wants to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, honestly, I need to sit down for a couple hours and edit this. And I have, working with brands, I have deadlines here and there. Sure. And so yep. It's like, this needs done really quick. So, yep. No, it adds a level of stress and it adds time. It's obviously been worth it.
Yeah.
Because I keep doing it. Get to meet a lot of awesome people and mm-hmm. do a little bit of travel here and there because of it.
Is your dad the first generation of the farm?
So he would be the third generation.
Third, okay.
Yeah, so around 1900, my great-grandpa moved over here from a small island called Bornholm. It's an island that's part of Denmark.
Okay.
He moved over here with a couple brothers and an aunt when he wasn't even a teenager yet. And then he actually never saw his parents ever again. He never went back.
Hmm.
And so they started farming here.
They settled like pretty close to where you guys are now?
Yeah. So about 5 miles away is where my great-grandpa George lived. And then he actually went back overseas to fight in World War I.
Hmm.
And so at this point, he had not met his wife, but his job was to bring food to the front line. So he had a team of 4 mules.
Wow.
That pulled a wagon.
Hmm.
One day, I think artillery struck, killed all 4 mules, and he got some shrapnel, so he was able to go home. But if it would have landed 5-10 feet closer and he would have died, I wouldn't be here. So. Yeah.
Was he, just curious, but I don't know if you know this or not, so like when he went to war, was he involved in war as a U.S. soldier or as a, would it be Danish? Is that what?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've never been asked that or even thought about that.
Yeah.
I would assume that he was a U.S. citizen at that point.
Yeah.
But no, that's good. I should ask.
It's just kind of interesting. Yeah, thinking about immigration and at that time and how people were coming over and settling, and then
because Denmark was involved in the war in some capacity, and that's why he wanted to join it, because his family back home was involved in the war as well.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, because that conflict is much closer to Denmark than the U.S.
Yeah.
So then your grandfather was the next.
Farmed. Yep.
Same area.
Yep. So he ended up getting a house probably 2 miles down the road. He did a lot with hogs, corn and soybean. Well, I guess not so much soybeans. Soybeans are kind of a newer thing to our area in the grand scheme of things. They did a lot of oats, barley, wheat, some corn. Even had a few milk cows. Most of that was for, you know, the own family. It's not like he sold milk.
Yeah.
And he also was in the Army. Yeah, I think he's won some awards for being a sharpshooter
too. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So he loved guns. He had a lot of guns. He had a couple gun cabinets at home there. And actually, when my grandparents passed away and kind of going through the stuff, like every kid and grandkid got a gun of some sort.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think there was 30 or 40 of us, so there was.
Wow.
Yeah.
He did have a stash.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have it?
Yeah. I got a 243.
Okay.
Yep. One of the cooler items, my cousin got a Judge, which is a handgun that shoots a 410
shotgun shell.
Yeah.
It's a cool gun.
Yep. So there's a lot of double barrels, side by sides, and over and unders, and old and newer stuff. And so,
nice. No, it's cool to have in the family and remember and pass those pieces down.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a really cool picture of our family in front of a sign that says Grandpa's Gun Show, and everyone's holding a gun.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So that's something very cherished to our family, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So then your dad took over.
Yeah. So then my dad and my uncle worked together for many, many years.
Okay.
And man, when I think back to my childhood, they were working till dark often. And then my mom also, she did home loans, and she would be working till 7, 8 at night. When she would pick me up from daycare, we'd go back to work and I'd hang out there, and I'd screw around the bank for a couple hours by myself while she's working. I just think my family's a hardworking family.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, you can hear that.
So then you obviously were doing a bunch of stuff on the farm. Like, Dad had you do
work too. I helped a lot with calving as much as I could as a young guy. I think back just coming home, hopping on the four-wheeler with Dad and catching calves and tagging them and stuff. But I was also involved in sports. And so I would, as soon as that started, I'd be at practice and such, and there'd be a lot of stuff on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't there all the time, but as much as I could and as much as he needed help. When I went to college, I knew I wanted to come back to the farm, and it was going to take on a major that involved farming. So I took up agronomy.
Okay.
Yep. And then took some animal husbandry classes as well.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I've asked a lot of questions.
No, I was just going to say, where'd you go to school?
Yeah, South Dakota State.
You did?
Brookings.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's close.
Is that Jackrabbits?
Yeah.
Oh, I always get those confused. I was thinking the SDSU. Okay.
San Diego State?
No.
It's funny. When I type if I'm trying to learn something about where I went to school or whatever.
And that pops up?
I type in SDSU and it's Sandy. It's always San Diego State.
Okay. Well, we toured both South Dakota schools for our oldest when she soccer.
USD
then? Maybe that's what it was. Okay. Yeah. So I always get the Jackrabbits because once you were yellow.
Yellow and blue, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then USD was red. They're the Coyotes.
Yes. I remember that. Okay.
Coyotes. Did you always know that you wanted to work on the farm, or did you go to school thinking, man, I want to get out of here? Or what was your mentality?
No, I always wanted, I don't know what else I would do. Always wanted to be on the farm. You know, when I was little, I remember just hanging out in the barn. You know, we have a trouble pen where we use to pull calves if we need to. Mm-hmm. I would just be in there acting like I'm pulling a calf by myself and just running gates and stuff. And so, it's definitely always what I knew I was going to come back to.
Yeah, I I guess it would only be one of two ways. But when we talked to folks that, kind of came up like you did, we just interviewed a guy last week who's running a ranch out way west in Nebraska, out in the Sandhills. And, you know, his story was that he grew up with a brother and they were on the ranch, and it was just a freaking job, and he hated it. And he couldn't wait to get out of there, you know. And then he goes to school, and he's at school for a few years, and he realizes, man, I missed that place. I want to go back. And now that's what he does for the rest of his life, you know. So I feel like I hear that story, or I hear the one where I've been a farm kid from go. Like, I don't know what else I would do, like what you're talking about there.
Like, he was saying he had to leave to appreciate it because he was just pissed. Like, kind of, you know, that he worked so much, but he played sports too. So it was kind of that balance.
Yeah, I was just going to say maybe it was because I was in sports and I wasn't around it always.
I remember him saying he played football.
He went to college to play baseball.
Baseball.
On a scholarship.
Yeah. So it just is interesting to me because you always think, and we say this too, like, are your kids going to love what you do and want to do it, or are they going to be like, I saw my parents do that and that sucked? No, but you have brothers, so the other two brothers are not farming with you, so they might have taken that role of like, I don't want to do this.
I don't know. Well, so it's easier to answer for my middle brother. We call him the smart one. He became a civil engineer. And Dad says he was too smart to come back to the farm, which, you know, farmers can be very smart. That's for sure, yeah, no especially doubt. With all the things we got to deal with. My older brother, he still loves agriculture, and he took a job that's pretty close to it. He sells aftermarket ag equipment for Land Kota. So he's still helping farmers and working with farmers, but he's not actively farming.
Oh, that's cool. It's interesting stories and how people come up, and you being the fourth generation of that farm, that's pretty neat. And I'm sure you hope someday that your children, however many you have, somebody will be involved.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, if my boy doesn't want to farm, I'm not going to make him farm. And, you know, it's very possible, whether we have a successful farm or not, that he'd have a better life, less stressful doing something else. You know, it's not always about the money. And you know, I'm sitting here thinking, man, my dad's at home cabin by himself, and it's hopefully raining. It's have a chance of rain, and you know, I'm I'm sitting here a little stressed.
Worrying about it.
Thinking
yeah.
about what's going on at home. And,
yeah.
And so, you know, not that other jobs don't have stress with them as well, yeah. but, you know, it's definitely a stressful job.
Mm-hmm. How big of a difference do you think it is for farmers / ranchers when you do and you don't have cattle? You know, like there's a lot of guys where they're row crop guys, right? But they yeah. don't have cattle or they don't have any livestock. And this is, by the way, your chance to take some shots at some straight up row crop guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the last 3 years, we've had some pretty good droughts. And I just think, man, if we were just row crop, I wouldn't have to worry about the cows out there that are just eating dirt. You know, there's mm-hmm. nothing out there growing. But, you know, if you're in that situation where you are just row crop guys, I'm sure they're just as stressed.
There's always something. Yeah.
There's something to be yeah. stressed about.
It just feels like the row crop guys get to go on vacation all the time, and you always see like their posts down on the beach mm-hmm. and on the cruise ships and all that.
Yeah, you know, we can't all inherit 2,000 acres in Iowa and Bryan County, but yeah, no. Everybody's got to work hard.
For sure.
Yeah. Even if you're quote-unquote giving it to you, you know, you still got to maintain the farm.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
and now there's pressure not to lose it, you know. Yep. There's you're always going to have haters and whatever.
And no, really nobody, you know, from the outside should be mad about that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if you inherit something like that, that's fine. Like, you're inheriting a lot of work and a lot of commitment.
That was your folks' goal to pass something on to the next generation. It's how, I think it's unjust to the parents to say something about the younger generation mm-hmm. that inherited it. Well, it's like, well, that's taken away from what the parents mm-hmm. and the grandparents worked so hard to do.
You know. And what's cool about farms and ranches, I think, you know, from what I hear over the years is like, you know that old saying where it's like the first generation builds it and the second generation, you know, lives off of it and the third generation
loses it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But more often than not in farm stories, you don't hear that. It's each generation continues to build on it mm-hmm. and continues to build a life and brings in more family and so on and so forth. You know, it just mm-hmm. kind of gets stronger and stronger for the most part mm-hmm. in farm stories.
Yeah. I think one of the hardest things is that say you have a few kids and maybe they don't all want a farm. Oftentimes the farm still gets, you know, broke out evenly between them.
Sure.
So it's hard to keep a generational farm that's getting split up yeah, every generation. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you always have a sibling that maybe wants to sell, could use the money mm-hmm. or whatever, or doesn't want to be burdened with all the decisions that mm-hmm. are involved with owning land or whatever. And so, yeah, it's really hard to keep a farm going generation after generation for various reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, and in those scenarios, then the one or two that do still want to be involved have to figure out how to...
How are we going to buy all this?
Yeah, otherwise it goes away.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a next level problem. Can I ask you, though, back to the YouTube, I keep thinking, was your dad and mom, like, cool with that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, from the gates?
Yeah, so really... You know, when I was doing the drone video and I said to my parents, you know, I want to try vlogging and talking to the camera. There was one day we were going to run some heifers through the chute and Dad said, you should take video of this. And I thought, well, that's pretty crappy drone video, just cattle running through the chute. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how you're going to make that interesting. He said, no, talk to the camera and explain what we're doing. So really my dad is who pushed me to actually start talking to the camera. And then right away he was kind of in there and, you know, he likes to have fun and he likes an audience. So he got right in there, really.
When you were younger, were you like a quiet kid? Or do you think like you would have looked at you at a younger age and said, yeah, someday that kid's going to be making videos?
No, I definitely never like set out to make videos or really even had like a dream or a goal to do that.
I mean, like, were you like outgoing or were you like reserved?
I would say for the most part, you know, I think about college and we'd be walking around on the sidewalk and my friends would say, man, you just like know everybody, don't you? Because I'm saying hi to all these different people. And so I would say I'm somewhat outgoing.
So you were
outgoing.
The popular...
I wouldn't say popular, just maybe outgoing.
Out of 20 or 30
athletic.
Kids in your class, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good looking guy.
All the
so
good
there
stuff.
You go.
Keep talking. Thank you.
I mean, hello. He's just not boasting about himself enough.
So, so I mean, that makes sense. So like you said, you're outgoing. And then, I guess basically what I'm getting at is when it came time for the camera and the YouTube thing, some of that kind of came natural. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a struggle for you.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's hard to articulate what you're trying to say. But luckily I'm the one doing the editing. So I've had it before where I tried to say just a short phrase and it took me 10 times to say it for whatever reason. So, you know, I get chances. That's what's nice about not doing it live or whatever.
Yeah.
See, I think that would be so hard to talk to yourself. Like sometimes I don't even like listening to the podcast back. So I'm like, God, I sound so cringy. But
that's the weird thing about it. I just feel like I've always narrated my days to myself as I'm going along doing things. So now I just open my mouth and say it to the camera.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes me insane or what.
No.
Do you, when you get home, like if you're doing a full day of recording or whatever, when you get home, are you done talking or do you still have a bunch of gas and you're still chatting?
Yeah, I'm usually done talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wait, great. Your wife gets none of it.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. People are like, oh my God, your husband, he talks a lot. I'm like, no, he doesn't. He's actually pretty chill. Like,
I get home, I put my headset on and I just try to go to work, I guess. Back to work.
Yeah.
The thing about it is when I edit the same day I film, I know what I'm looking for.
Sure.
And it's kind of fresh. And so I can do a better job and be a little bit more efficient.
Makes sense.
And then also, I just hate the fact when there's work that I could be doing. I just like to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Oh, so you do it that day?
That night, yeah.
Wow, you're on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that typical when you talk to other people, other YouTubers?
Not always. You know, I've talked to some where they say it takes 6 to 8 hours to edit a video, and I'm like, I don't know why it's taking that. Because I'm just cutting stuff out that's garbage, and it's really just chronological and I try to be as efficient as possible and really start to end about 2 hours into it in a video. So I don't know. Yeah. Some people, well, I have a couple friends that are trying to do it too. And they're like, yeah, I got stuff from 6 months ago. I haven't edited, but
then it could pile up if you're not on it. That makes sense. And if it's like weighing on you and you haven't done it yet, you're that type of person, then you might as well just do it that day.
Yeah.
I get it.
When and where did you meet your wife?
Online, actually.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
So. And everyone always asks this. The next question is probably the same question from everybody.
Did you get catfished?
No. No.
Okay.
No.
I'm kidding.
Was it on Farmers Only?
No. No. It wasn't. Not that the website was any better. It was Tinder, actually.
Okay.
Which doesn't have a great
rep. So you were
rep.
Like the swiping. You were swiping in the right direction or whatever.
Yeah. And actually, I think it was about 5 years ago. I was in I went to a wedding in Omaha, which got our phones close enough because she's from Lamar's.
Oh, so Tinder's picking up who's around you.
Yeah, it's a radius thing.
Oh, snap. So that's how you guys got together.
Yeah. So
your phones knew each other.
So she had quite a few friends and family that met their now spouses that way. So they talked her into downloading it. And
So was she a swipe right or what's the keep? Is it the up?
I think swipe left was
good. So she's left. Yeah. Okay. I can't ever remember. Well,
so
I don't know, but
I haven't been on the app for years now.
Let's be clear. Yeah. And when I was saying catfish, like I just wondered, like when I always think of like, oh, that's what I always think of. Like there's got to be some fakeness.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Out there, that just would be scary. Sorry.
So what happens? So like you're at some wedding, and then you pull up your app, and then it shows you like ladies
so like
who are interested or whatever.
It's basically her name. Well, it's a bunch of different people within your radius.
Yeah.
And even if you swipe yes, that doesn't mean that they already did or
So then does it send them a message if you do that or something?
Well, if they swiped yes too, then you match.
Okay.
Oh.
And then you're able to send a message at that point.
So that's totally based on looks at first. Is there any type of
some description
bullet profiles?
Oh, yeah. So you can add a profile.
But yeah, there's a picture. But are we talking like, is there any like, does it say what you do? Does it like
did you have a picture of yourself holding a calf or something?
Purely based on looks at this point.
Well, so it depends on how fast you're doing it. If you're just swiping, then it's all looks. But if you see someone you're interested in, you can click on them and there's a little bit of a bio.
I got you. Yeah. There is a little bit but it really is based on looks at first.
Well, I would say
it's gotta be.
I mean you gotta be attracted to your spouse.
Well, it's first impression. Like when you meet someone at first, if you're not visually attracted to them, you're probably like, bye. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you guys met up. So did you meet at that wedding then? Or
no.
Okay.
No. So then we talked for probably 2 months.
Okay.
And then after harvest was over, we were like, we should meet. And so she's from Lamar's and I'm from Mount Vernon. I'd usually tell people Mitchell because more people know what Mitchell is. But Sioux Falls was a is like the biggest town and city in South Dakota, okay. But it was also the meeting point. It was basically right in the middle between us. So we met there and
okay.
We went axe throwing.
Oh, gall. I don't know. Was that a good first date?
I won. I don't know if that matters, but and then I guess we kept talking and hanging out. And so it was a 2-hour and 45-minute drive to get to her house and vice versa. So we took turns every other weekend, basically.
So you did that for a while?
About a year.
Okay.
Yep. And then my mom actually wanted to slow down in her job, and Tiffany wanted to kind of take over that sort of line of work. And so when Tammy was switching positions, my now wife applied for her position in Mitchell, and she got it. And so that's what got her to move up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, score. So your mom had a hand in getting her closer to you. Look at that, mom. So little nudge.
So she moves there, and then you guys are probably getting fairly serious at that point because you're seeing each other every weekend.
Well, yeah. She just moved 2 hours, 2.5 hours closer.
Yeah.
And like she has like 5 aunts and how many cousins that live 2 blocks away from where she was living. So that was a big leap for her.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I thought, I better buy a ring, I suppose.
Better keep her.
Make this worth it.
Yeah.
Or she's getting back on Tinder.
Yeah.
How long ago did you guys get married?
In 2022, in November.
Okay. So it's been
2.5 years.
Okay. Yep. And then most recently, you had your first child.
Yep. In December, we had a baby boy.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, did you guys know you were going to have a boy? I can't remember.
We did genetic testing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you pumped, like thinking farm wise, like, ooh, I got a boy?
Yeah. You know, it's, I don't know, being a boy, I wanted a boy. So,
yeah.
At least the first one, get it out of the way. You know, now the next, however many can be whatever they want. So,
Yeah.
I don't know. Just wanted that boy.
I don't know. I guess. You always hear that. Like, I mean, you obviously loved your girls and never thought we would even have a boy, but I just always think about that on a farm. I don't know why that girls could be good workers and farmhands too, but. It does seem like a man type of work. If we're profiling here, is that right to say?
I mean, yeah, certainly. Like, and Cole can attest to this, that you know the female has a very important role on the farm. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of support and a lot of things that they're doing that they're helping with. But I think in general, the guy is out there doing the majority of the manual labor.
I mean, it's as simple as. What's the percentage of men farming?
Is that? I mean, it's got to be so high.
I'd say it's 95 plus.
Probably,
okay. And I guess in my head, I'm visualizing someone trying to pull a calf out. Like, most women probably don't even have the strength to do that.
Could be.
Correct?
Okay, check this. Well, this is a little older, but this brings up...
Yeah, what does it say?
Oh, no, that said 2016. So here's 2022... 2022, 36.3% were women.
No. Oh, wow.
That's higher than I would have guessed.
Yeah, but that's way higher.
64% male, so that kind of gives it, yeah. So it's kind of like a third are women and two-thirds are men. But, you know, it doesn't say exactly what their role are. But the point is that everyone does have a role that affects the farm. Mm-hmm. And it's all important. And we've talked about this before on this podcast. We've talked about... you know, men versus women and the roles and the traditional roles and the modern roles and all this kind of stuff. And they're just flat out things that guys are better at. And there's flat out things that girls are better at in general. I mean, it rings true the majority of the time. So it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to be, it's not a competition. It's nothing to be.
I don't think reading off statistics word for word makes you racist in any way or whatever.
Yeah.
Racist, not the word, but...
Sexist
or whatever ist you can add to it. You know, statistics are statistics, I guess.
Right, yeah.
There's also outliers always. Mm-hmm. So
True.
Yeah.
So what does the future of the Sunny Farms YouTube channel look like? You got plans for it? What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, the fun things are when you work with companies and maybe get to demo something that you otherwise wouldn't have had the opportunity to do, and we have a few things coming this summer, hopefully. Things on the internet, they kind of have a lifespan of just a few years in terms of a YouTube video, I guess, because there's always the next best thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's always somebody new, doing something different that forms a buzz or whatever. So I guess for me, the goal is just keep it alive and hopefully maintain.
I feel like, you know, if you would have asked me like 3-4 years ago about YouTube in general and like that platform and what is this going to look like? You know, what's the future of the Farm Focus business and doing merchandise for YouTubers? I would have said, man, kind of something similar to what you said, where things always kind of run their course. There's going to be the next best thing. Who knows how long this YouTube thing's going to go. But today I look at it and I feel like I see YouTube like doubling down. Like they're getting even bigger and even more influence and more things are like more and more pathways are leading to YouTube.
Yeah. Well, I agree because, you know, think about how much time you used to watch TV.
Yeah.
You know, we don't even pay for TV now. It's all
right.
It's all streaming services or whatever. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are spending much more time on platforms like YouTube.
Yeah. And even at my age, I mean, I'm in my early 40s. I don't watch a lot of YouTube. That wasn't something that we had growing up. But my son does. He watches a lot. He's 14. And I've found myself utilizing that platform. Like as an example, the other night, I really like barbecue. So I was wanting to find some barbecue shows. So I just go on YouTube, I search it. I mean, it's endless. Mm-hmm. Like I could sit there for hours and watch these things.
I know. And I was like, whoa, what? This is good. And we're like, wow, awesome. We found a new channel. Yeah.
So I totally see it. I totally get it. And I think it's going to be around for a whole lot longer than what I would have originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a big part of our future for consumption of television in the U.S. Absolutely. Yeah.
Is there any YouTube channels that you love watching that's outside of farming?
Oh, outside of farming. I guess the only one I watched outside of farming is probably Whistling Diesel. He destroys a lot of stuff. But really, I watch very little. I just feel too busy. And if I am, it's usually a fellow farmer YouTuber.
And that's interesting in and of itself because I think a lot of the folks that are on it are not really watching their own category just because they get enough of it, you know, themselves. But
Well, I think part of it is, you know, this community is kind of tight knit, and you know, it's sending text messages with Chad or whatever with the different YouTubers, and so you kind of have a relationship, and you're interested in what they're up to.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's like a little healthy competition, or no? I mean, you don't really feel.
At the end of the day, it's competition, I guess.
Okay.
But I don't think of it that way. You know, it's not like I'm going to sit down and be like, okay, I gotta do this to get ahead of whoever, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't really think there's much I can do, you know.
Right. People like you, your voice, your personality.
I'm trying to put out an interesting video no matter what. So.
Yeah.
And I think YouTube does a good job of like sharing a lot of those things, you know. So like, you watch one of Chet's videos or whatever, and then it's going to suggest one of your videos or someone else in the category, and it really is all a community.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Do you play any of the farming games?
No.
No.
That doesn't interest me at all.
No.
Like Farm Sim, no.
We had one of the Farm Simulator guys on a couple of weeks ago, and then we were talking about this at the beginning, or when we were talking about the beef that you're selling with the squad guys and the Hilberts.
Yeah,
and working with those guys. That's a whole nother interesting category for me, are people watching the video gaming on YouTube. Yeah.
I didn't quite understand it, but I mean, I get it. I just was like, what?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of all about who the person is and what their persona is like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Cool. Well, we're coming up on an hour, believe it or not.
You're going to be late for your wedding.
Yeah, I got to get going here soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have any other questions or anything?
No. I think I'm good. Thanks.
We appreciate you coming to town, man.
Yeah,
it's good to see you.
Awesome, we worked this in.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to. Thanks for coming to the shop. If folks are looking, if you want to check out Cole's gear, farmfocused.com, you can look under brands, you'll see Sunny Farms, or you can go to farmfocused.com/, is it Sunny Farms or Sunny-Farms? I'm gonna make sure I get this right.
Oh, I was like, "Are you asking me?"
I just run the company.
Otherwise, you're on Instagram, Facebook, and then what's your YouTube?
Sunny Farms. Panel?
Just straight to Sunny Farms. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Easy enough.
So what I was gonna tell folks, anyway, so it's /Sunny Farms, all one word. If you go on there and you buy merchandise, you can use a discount code for for the podcast. So the discount code is Common Folk. Mm-hmm. So if you use the discount mm-hmm. code, you'll get 20% off anything on the Farm Focused website. So check out Cole's stuff. Go to the website, click on brands, look for Sunny Farms, check out some of the other ones. Take advantage of the discount code for being a Common Folk listener.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks again, buddy. Thanks for coming. We'll get you out of here and head to the wedding.
Sounds good.
Get your dance on.
Yeah.
Peace.
See ya.